With me, as always, at this time is Roy Miller from Hanson & Miller Law Firm here in Santa Rosa. Good afternoon, Roy.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure having you in. And today we have a very big can of, well, I kind of actually wish it was worms, to be honest. I think that's easier. But it's actually a pretty big can to open, and that is the PG&E and the bankruptcy process that they now face, and they have to go ahead in it. Let's just kind of start from the beginning here before we kind of go into the process itself. They filed just late last month, just before January had ended. What was in the filing itself that stated they needed bankruptcy protection?
All right. So when anyone or any corporation files for bankruptcy, they have to disclose certain things in the bankruptcy petition. And it's called a disclosure. And they're supposed to disclose what their assets are and what their liabilities are. So basically, you draw a line down the piece of paper, and you owe more possibly than you possess in assets. PG&E's filing was interesting in that they basically said their estimated assets and estimated liabilities largely balance out, which raises a question mark as to whether they should be filing bankruptcy at all. Mm. But to be fair, they do not have a very clear handle on the size of their claims against them for the fires. So what they did is they gave an estimate, and then they are also asking for what's called a stay. So basically, the PG&E lawsuits are paused while this process begins.
Okay. Now, the estimates from the lawsuits itself, where do they get that number? Just from basic reports from CAL FIRE? Or?
No, CAL FIRE has absolutely no role in estimating damage totals. CAL FIRE's role is to try, if it can, determine cause and origin of fires. Where they are getting their numbers from is educated guesses on their part, plus what information they've been given by the insurance industry as to what has actually been paid out in claims. So these are, at this point, they're estimates. And as the process moves forward, as we'll talk about, there'll be a way for that to get fleshed out.
What's the next step after this filing? Is there a court date already set?
What happens next is I received a courier package from PG&E, basically with a huge stack of papers notifying everybody that they have applied for and are going to be given stays of the PG&E cases. So that's the first thing that happened. And what we're waiting for right now is a series of orders to be issued by the bankruptcy judge to sort of set out a timeline and a process that the bankruptcy judge wants to pursue.
As judge has been picked, correct? Or?
Same judge that handled the PG&E's previous bankruptcy in 2001, yes.
So he has very familiarity with this company.
He is familiar not just with PG&E, but he's also familiar with large-scale corporate bankruptcies and some of the tricks that are employed by corporations during their bankruptcy process. So I think that's good for us in the sense that this judge is not simply going to rubber stamp what PG&E is asking for.
You had mentioned that it seemed like the liabilities and assets seem to be pretty even and that it might not even be suitable for bankruptcy court. Can the judge just say you're not qualified for bankruptcy protection?
Although it's possible, it's more likely that there may be an evaluation by people on the creditor side, meaning PG&E has lenders, corporations, and us as claimants. And it's possible that one of those groups may file a petition to basically throw the bankruptcy case out because, for example, the wildfire claims have not yet been quote-unquote proven. You're speculating. You're not sure. We don't want our clients, meaning like bondholders and stockholders, to get shafted. So they'll want to throw it out. What is more likely to happen is that the judge is going to set a deadline for all the claims that people want to file. They have a deadline to get it on file, which will likely be this summer. And with that, he will also likely have a deadline for all of us who have claims on file to demonstrate how much our losses are, because the bankruptcy court needs to know what the liabilities are to decide how best to plan for a payment schedule or a payment plan for PG&E to take care of creditors.
Now, the estimated, just the finances part of this, just whether or not we – just to proceed forward, how long does that usually take?
That – it depends on a couple of things. If the bankruptcy – there's a bankruptcy trustee, a person that's appointed by the court to basically oversee the process. That person will want to see a plan from PG&E and from their creditors, hopefully a joint plan, but at least two sets of plans to see what their ideas are to get the bankruptcy process wound up. Mm-hmm. And if PG&E and their creditors are able to get together, that is a process that could happen fairly quickly. Like by that, I mean within a year. If it winds up being a slugfest between PG&E and their creditors, the process will take longer.
By creditors, you don't just mean lenders. You mean fire victims as well.
Fire victims are considered creditors because they have claims against PG&E assets in the form of they're asking for compensation. They are not secured creditors, meaning they have not lent PG&E money with an agreement that they'll be repaid, plus that lender has a note. Mm-hmm. And like a security interest on assets. Like you borrow money for a house, the lender has a lien on your home for the amount of the loan. So it's the same thing in the business world. They just call it something a little bit different.
If you have multiple creditors, though, for PG&E, and do they all have to come up with just one plan working together?
The trustee will very much want a single plan because if you wind up having multiple plans, it gets messy and it takes longer to sort through the plans. Ultimately, the judge would decide which plan goes forward. But from our perspective, the best case scenario is that we identify our losses. The other creditors already are on paper as far as what they're owed. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of figuring out how to get the claims addressed. And in fact, there is the coming together of an idea about how to do that.
Okay. What role does the bankruptcy judge have in this, and how much leeway does he have in these proceedings itself? Can he insert his own opinions or provisions with these plans as well?
The bankruptcy judge has the ability to reject a plan of reorganization if the judge does so. That doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen. More likely, this judge is going to lean hard on PG&E to come up with a realistic plan to make people whole. The X factor here is the state of California can really exercise a lot of control as an advocate for the people who lost homes, the victims of the wildfire, and be ratepayers. We're all ratepayers, of course, but there are people throughout the PG&E network that have possible liability. The state has the ability to come in and say, hey, look, we have an idea here to participate in a way to try and get everything taken care of. And you look at it as a pot. Mm-hmm. You throw into the pot some ingredients. The insurance for that PG&E already had. The money from the bonds that have already been authorized by the state last year for our 2017 fires, possibly another bond for the campfire, and what I think is a key here is selling PG&E's natural gas division. Mm-hmm. Basically, PG&E's shareholders should be first up to take care of the creditors, wildfire victims in particular. You put the insurance money together with the sale of the natural gas assets, that could go a very long way to taking care of all of the wildfire claims while still protecting the bondholders and people that are ahead of us in line. Mm-hmm. And it can also help protect ratepayers by having the sale of the natural gas assets come first.
Well, it'd have to be then someone from the state stepping in to propose that, though.
Well, the governor had been negotiating with PG&E prior to having the rug pulled out from under him by this decision to file bankruptcy. The governor still can play a big role. The assembly can still play a big role. In fact, my wife and I met with Assembly Member Jim Wood yesterday about the schools, Santa Rosa City Schools, and also kind of getting him up to speed about the Tubbs report that the conclusion was wrong, and encouraging all the assembly members and state senators that we met with to actually read the report. But I think that if the legislature really got behind this, I think the governor would get behind this, and I think they could play perhaps a mediating role to help get this done and do it quickly.
And the judge would theoretically just be okay with that.
You know what? Most judges, whether it's bankruptcy or otherwise, they like solution. They like solutions. Mm-hmm. And a solution that makes people whole in the bankruptcy era is always a best-case scenario for a bankruptcy judge. He does not necessarily want to preside over a long, drawn-out fight between banks and hedge funds on the one hand, wildfire victims on the other, with PG&E basically trying to walk away from everybody. He wants a solution. And I think that that solution, which could involve the state playing a mediating presence within the bankruptcy process, to me would be an absolute – be a fantastic way of government helping out in a very positive sense.
I think we're just barely breaching the surface of this, but we're going to take just a quick break here. But if you do have any questions for Roy himself about PG&E bankruptcy process that they're about to go through, or the Tubbs Report, or anything else having to do with the wildfire lawsuits, you can contact them at 575-1040. That's 575-1040. They're right here in Santa Rosa. They're also at firejustice.com. It is 1215 here at KSRO. We're going to take a short break. Be right back. It is 1217 here at KSRO. I'm Dale Tresillos, and you're listening to Ask the Expert. And again, it is 1218. We go back with our friend Roy Miller. We're talking about the PG&E bankruptcy process and just what that kind of looks like. And it'd be very, I'm very interested just to ask, what does that look like in the case of proving fault on PG&E? In the other case, it seemed kind of a bit straightforward. You go to courtroom, you have a jury. Is that still like the same case at all?
Things have taken a different turn with the bankruptcy process. What we are focused on right now is proving up, getting all the documentation together about what the clients lost. The bankruptcy court eventually will want to know that because PG&E does have the exclusive right to file a plan of reorganization at the start of bankruptcy. They have to do that within 4 months of filing. Sometimes they get a little bit longer, but that plan for reorganization has to contain certain things. And if that plan is not accepted, and I think given the complexity here, I think that their plan will probably not be accepted. You kind of go on from there. We're sort of in terms of proving up our case, we are on hold. So what we are looking to do, possibly with the state's help, is demonstrate what our clients lost, and we take out the whole issue of litigating and fighting in court about the responsibility part of it and get to the end of the case as far as making people whole. The bankruptcy process can be helpful to short-circuiting that whole going to court and battle over the experts and people coming in to describe fleeing the fire. That all can go away if we have a plan that involves making these people whole through the bankruptcy process.
So you're saying the evidence itself doesn't need to come before this judge. We can just kind of go on to the whole, okay, we're at fault here. Let's just figure out how to settle this.
PG&E won't say the word fault ever about anything.
Hyperbole there.
Well, yeah. What could happen is they will say, hey, look, we want to get these things resolved. We're not going to talk about who's at fault. We're going to talk about the solution to get to the end of the problem, like skipping to the end of the book. Mm-hmm. Here's how, you know, everybody wins and everybody goes home happy, that sort of thing. Coupled with the announcement that they just made about the fact that they are significantly stepping up their fire safety protocols, which they should have done decades ago, they're finally starting to take positive steps, at least on paper, towards having poles that are more resistant, having the proper equipment out there in the wildland areas to reduce the risk of fire significantly. It's great if they would have done it decades ago, but at least they're starting to do it now.
And some more of that news coming out yesterday, just with the them considering more power shutoffs, really.
They are, and part of this is a reaction because the federal criminal judge, Judge Alsup, is really unhappy with how they have behaved as a corporation. And it stung PG&E hard enough that I think they went back and took another look at how they would enact their wildfire safety program. And it does mean that people in areas that are part of a grid in a wildland fire area could be subject to shutoffs. And that is something that we in 2019 have a hard time swallowing. Mm-hmm. We think that we can play Xbox whenever we want to and run our blenders for our margaritas whenever we feel like it, but it may not be that simple. So people need to think about options and things like battery storage and different things that they could maintain their normalcy in their lives while understanding that a lot of us do live in areas that are more prone to wildfires than others.
Now, before we had gone to break, you had mentioned just kind of in the middle of the last segment that something called the claim bar needs to be set, and people who haven't filed need to be need to file before this this notion. Kind of go into that and what that means for people that haven't filed already.
Okay, so more or less, maybe half, maybe less than half of the people that can file a claim against PG&E have. The bankruptcy court is going to set a hard deadline for everybody, Camp Fire and all of our 2017 fires, that you have until, say, July 5th, for example. If you don't get a claim on file by that date, you're barred, because those people that have not filed, their potential claims will get discharged, basically erased when PG&E leaves bankruptcy. So those people that have not yet filed a claim can call me and we can add them to the list and get their cases proved up. Mm-hmm. It's basically a way for everybody to have certainty about what's going to happen. What is really unfortunate is the people up in Butte County who suffered their loss much more recently are on a very tight deadline of about 8 to 10 months from the date of the fire to get a claim on file. And that's not very reasonable for a town that got 95% wiped from the face of the earth.
Will they get an exception just because of their situation?
No.
No, they will not.
No, the way the bankruptcy operates, for better or worse, with hard deadlines and cold numbers, certainty. And that certainty means they have to have a deadline. The problem is because their fire was in November, they are going to be on a much shorter clock to get themselves together, literally and figuratively, to get a claim on file.
Okay. What do you say to people that are thinking of just withdrawing from the lawsuit altogether? They're like, I don't want to go through this like 1 to 2 year bankruptcy thing and not have anything to see at the end of it.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, our clients have no financial risk. If for some reason, in the unlikely event, their claim gets wiped out, they owe nothing. And they were proving up their claims for their insurance anyway. So, again, they don't have much, if any, extra work to do for the most part. We're doing all the work and we're doing all the worrying. You just go on with rebuilding your life. If you want to move somewhere, you can move wherever you want to move if you don't want to stay here. And we're going to look after your case for you and keep you updated. Some people have called just out of frustration because they feel like they're getting kicked to the curb. And it's one more getting kicked when you're down, and they just want the pain to end. But my point to them is they've been through the hard part in terms of pain and the difficult part in terms of getting us the proof. And now you just need to work on everything else in your life. Don't worry about it. Let us do that for you.
Where does the kind of the insurance companies come into all this? Are they seen as a creditor?
The insurance companies are a creditor just like the wildfire victims themselves. The issue is the insurance companies have banded together to sue PG&E, and they, I'm sure, had in their mind an idea of how much they would be able to claw back of what they paid out, 30, 40 cents on the dollar, something mm-hmm. like that. My hope, well, my expectation is that between insurance companies and actual victims, that the bankruptcy court's going to be interested in trying to help real people. Rather than insurance companies. So there's a couple of terms called taking a haircut. Some creditors may take a haircut, and we think that it might be more the insurance industry than anyone else. But it's something that we'll see once the plan comes out, because the insurance companies have the right to put forward their own plan too. And I'm willing to bet that they're not going to suggest taking a haircut.
By that sound, it sounds like insurance companies are then unsecured creditors, just like lawsuit victims.
Exactly. So there's a huge list of unsecured creditors, and then you have the banks and institutions that are secure creditors that are technically in line ahead. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of thinking creatively to have a fund available to make sure that especially the unsecured creditors are made whole. And what I'm hoping is going to be forced by the state through the PUC and the regulatory process is any board member that was part of the process to have this terrible safety culture in place is removed. Okay. And the board gets replaced.
Could that be part of the plan as well, that certain people leave or stay, just depending on
I'm not a bankruptcy expert, but in my experience, the bankruptcy courts more often than not are focused simply on the numbers. They sometimes may comment on how the company was run, but they rarely, if ever, would try and intervene as far as the makeup of mm-hmm. the company itself. The shareholders, and there are millions of them potentially, the shareholders are the ones that should have been standing up. The state should stand up and basically say, the way you've been doing business since 1936 when they started that first fire, it needs to change now.
Okay. Well, we're coming close to our amount of time that we're closing up here. Just for the bankruptcy process, explain again what the very next step is.
The next step is to get some deadlines, including a date by which anyone who has a claim needs to get their claim on file. Mm-hmm. The commercials are rotating right now that we run on your station, but we're doing meetings one-on-one now, so just call the office and we'll set up a meeting and explain the process to anyone that needs it. But they're going to have a hard deadline here within a few months.
In a few months. Is that going to be decided in the next couple of weeks, that hard deadline?
That hard deadline is going to be issued by the bankruptcy court. If not this week, then I would expect within the next 1 or 2 weeks.
Is that going to be the very first hearing?
Well, it's not actually a hearing. It'll just be something that starts flying out from the bankruptcy court of a series of things. The deadline for the reorganization plan by PG&E and the claim bar deadline just start flying out the door.
Be very interesting to see how the legislature reacts once that that whole thing starts up.
I really hope that they step up and help their people, and I think they will. It's just in talking to them yesterday in Sacramento, they're just trying to figure out the next steps like the rest of us, and it is a very difficult process, and the legislature's not used to being part of any bankruptcy proceeding, mm-hmm. so there may be a little education that needs to happen too.
Okay. I hope they figure it out close, because it's February now, and last I checked, another fire season's just around the corner, unfortunately.
It'll be here by June, and mm-hmm. PG&E's now on the clock to try and prevent the next big fire from happening with their equipment.
Here's to that.
Absolutely.
Roy, thank you very much for being in here today. It's a pleasure, as always, having
Anytime.
You.
Anytime. Thank you.
That is Roy Miller from Hanson & Miller Law Firm in Santa Rosa. If you have any specific questions for them or for Roy himself, you can call them at 575-1040, 575-1040. They're located right here in Santa Rosa on 415 Russell Avenue. You have a meeting this weekend?
We are not having meetings this weekend. Oh. People just need to call the office. We'll happy to talk to them on the phone or in person at my office.
Website's also firejustice.com. Very easy, very simple.
Curry to midcourt. Takes a deep three off the dribble. Knocks it down. It becomes the sixth player in Golden State Warriors history. The